God, we thank you and hope that we have honored you and worshiped you with one that is honoring and pleasing to you, Father. Thank you. God, we do love you. We are a people who acknowledge that you are God. In Christ, you are King, and we surrender ourselves to you. Thank you for your word. Your word is alive and it is powerful. It is life-changing, God. Your word is life-changing. I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit, God, you move in this place in a powerful, powerful way this morning. Pinpoint this message to every heart that's here today, God. Speak to us this morning, please. We come before you with an ear to hear. We come before you and ask for an eye to see. We come before you, Father, with our heart that is just wide open before you this morning, ready to hear and receive and respond. Folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me. God, I'm here on purpose. I chose to be here to hear from you. So God, speak to me, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you could turn to two places, please, Revelation 4. Please turn to Revelation 4, put a marker, and then flip over to Psalm 99. Revelation 4, then flip over to Psalm 99. And we are in this summer series called Up Close and Personal. Again, when you recognize this, man, I've had so many responses to this in regards to this series being some of the best for people, that they have been here for years and they declare this is the best series. Man, God has spoke to me in so many days. I hear that over and over and over. Man, I'm asking you to tune in today. I'm asking you to hear this today. We are going to talk about another character trait of God that should drive us to worship Him, should drive us to praise Him, to understand what it is to be up close and personal to the God of all creation, the God of all love that would send His Son to die for us, that we can be close to Him. But we have to recognize that we have to have a starting point. Starting point is His holiness. When you understand that God is without stain and that God is holy and God is pure and God is free from all impurity, that God truly is separated, that He is sacred and He is separate from anything and everything that is profane and defiling. God cannot and will not ever be defiled. He is holy and He is stainless, without stain. You start there. Because then you can properly, biblically look at the sin of mankind. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. All, everyone who's ever had breath, minus Jesus Christ, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. That is death there. It's thanatos. It means to be forever and eternally separate from the presence of God. Could you imagine? When you recognize God as a holy, pure, innocent, stainless, free from anything that is impure, God who is separate from anything that is profane or defiling, God who cannot and will not ever be in sin, then you look at mankind and you see sin and you see your sin and my sin. And you recognize Isaiah 64 says, on our best day, our sin are like filthy rags. Folks, that's speaking of a woman's menstrual cycle rag. On our best day, that's how good we are. When you compare it to that which is holy and pure and perfect, you compare it to that which is without stain, God Almighty, who is holy. You recognize very quickly our need for Jesus, and you recognize how amazing God's love is for us. God demonstrated His love for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Gang, it starts with Him being holy, and it starts with His holiness and us coming before Him with a reverence, with an awe, recognizing how holy God is and how perfect and pure and innocent God is, and all that took place for that one day you and I stand before Him blameless because of what Jesus did for us and taking our sin and taking us and making us white as snow. It's incredible. It's incredible. What an exchange. What a rescue. Man, look at this. Psalm 99, folks. I want you to see this. Look at this. The Lord reigns. Hear this psalm. This is amazing. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Cherubim are angels. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Highlight that. Look at this. Let them praise. Let them come before you and honor you and adore you and thank you for your great and awesome name. Look at what is the picture we have of God? Great and awesome name and holy. Pure. Here's the definition of holy. You can put it right up, put it up, and you can look at this. This is the definition of holy. It means to be without stain. It means to be sacred, set apart, pure, innocent, free from anything that is impure. To be separate, set apart from that which is profane or defiling. That's God. Holy is He. Pure, innocent, free from stain. Is He. And then you look at our lives and you recognize, God, who am I that I have been so wrong and I have been so wicked and I have been so desperate that you love me? That's where love takes hold, folks. That's where change takes place. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Look at praise is connected to holy is He. Verse 4, the strength of the king loves justice, and you have established equity. Equity here, it means uprightness, or you are fair. You have established that which is upright, or that which is fair. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt, look at verse 5, exalt, lift high the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Praise is connected to His holiness. Worship is connected to His holiness. We are to exalt Him. We are to lift Him high above the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy, blameless, innocent, free from anything that is impure. That which is set apart, that which is without stain. Holy is He. Moses and Aaron were among His priests, and Samuel was among those who called on His name, and they called upon the Lord, and He answered them, and He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud, and they kept His testimonies and the statute that He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them, and You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger to their evil deeds. Look at verse 9. Exalt, lift high the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. Gang, when you understand this, and in this series, Up Close and Personal, man, I said it from the beginning. This is going to challenge you, man. We want to walk into church to be challenged. We want to walk into church and see God's truth. We want to walk into church and compare our lives to what He says. And in that, when you come close to light, the Bible says God is light. And when you come close to light, there will be things that are exposed. You understand His holiness, and you understand that we are to acknowledge Him as holy. As pure, we are to see Him as He is, that which is pure, that which is innocent, that which is without stain, that which hates sin. Sin can't touch Him. That's why, because of the sin of man, our payment is to be separate from Him. Please don't miss this, man. The wages of sin is to be separate from the presence of God. That's what every single person who has breath has earned, is to be separate from that which is holy. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you understand that when that rings in your heart and that makes a difference in your world forever, you come before Him with a reverence. You come before Him with awe that a holy God, the one true living, holy is He, has such a deep love for me, even in the midst of my sin. That's amazing. Come on, Isaiah 6 says this. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah. He had a vision, and I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. He gives us a picture of heaven. This is an amazing picture, gang. I want you to see this. I want you to understand the picture that's taking place in heaven. It is intense. It is beautiful, man. It's amazing. Sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim, this is another group of angels. Now, please know this. This is the only time in Isaiah 6, 1, 3 and Isaiah 6, 7. This is the only time seraphim are ever mentioned in Scripture. Now listen, please don't think angels are those with wings, a little fat baby with an arrow, right? I mean, that's just, angels are not little fat babies. I didn't know if you knew that, but I'm just saying, they're not little fat babies that fly around with the harp, right? This is the deal. Look at this picture. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two covered his face, with two covered his feet, with two he flew. And he called out to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Gang, please hear this. This is those who are in worship. These amazing creatures, these living creatures who are angelic beings that God has created, are flying around the throne and declaring to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Again, that's the scene that's taking place in heaven, declaring, "God, you are without stain. God, you are blameless. God, you are perfect. God, you are holy. God, you are separate from anything that is profane and defiling." That's the scene that's taking place. Come on, look at this. Revelation 4, please. I want to give you another scene. This is John. He was taken up in the spirit to go to heaven, and God gave him an incredible picture of the workings that are taking place in heaven. Some will say this is now, some will say this is future, but we know that this is taking place before the throne of God, and it will be an eternal deal. And I want you to see this, please. Verse 4, this is an amazing picture of heaven, folks. Verse 3, and he who was sitting, now get this, he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. This is the scene that's in heaven. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And out from the throne, look at this, this is intense. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. This is, could you imagine seeing the throne and seeing jasper and seeing emerald and seeing this take place, where from the throne there was this thunder and there was this lightning that was taking place that was coming from the throne. Now look at this, verse 6. And before the throne there was something like, I mean, John comes to a place that this is undescribable. John comes to a place that I can't really put my finger on it. It was just brilliant, and it was amazing. It was like the ocean, but it was just something like, it's so intense that he can't even really peg what it is. And this is what he says. And it was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, like the center, and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third was like the face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them having six wings. Look at these. This is amazing, having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. Try to picture these angelic beings just swarming the throne and declaring this, full of eyes and around and within, and day and night, forever, over and over, they do not cease to say. This is something that is eternal. This is something that goes on and on and on. What are they saying again? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty. Look at this. They're declaring that there is one true living God. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are God Almighty, and you are holy and holy and holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They declare that, God, you have always been. You have no beginning. God, you are now. And God, you will forever be, and you have no end. There's so much in this. They declare that God is the one true, almighty, all-powerful God, and that he is the only one who deserves holy, holy, holy. For God, you have always been, you are now, and you will always be. We serve a God who had no beginning. We serve a God who is present now, and we serve a God who has no end. And without cease, they're circling the throne, declaring his holiness with reverence and awe. Gang, please see this. When the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, will cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are you, our God, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." This is without cease, folks. Going on and on and on, declaring the holiness of God. Now please hear this. When you look at what it is to be close to God, and you understand, and you start with a holy God. You start with that which is without stain, and that which is perfect, and that because He is always separate from that which is profane and defiling. And you begin to identify your sin. When you cannot understand Jesus Christ unless you recognize your sin. Can't do it. We recognize our sin. We recognize how lost and desperate we are. We look at our sin that has damned us for an eternity. And we look at this holy, perfect, without stain, blameless God. He has such a deep love for me. And His deep love for you that He would send His Son, that Jesus Christ, the wrath of God, would be poured on His Son to take the hit for you and I that we rightfully deserve because of our sin, that one day you and I, because Jesus, the blood of Christ, has cleansed us from all sin, that we stand before Him blameless. Folks, when you know the holiness of God and you understand what it is to be saved on biblical grounds, sin just can't taste the same. Please hear this. This is huge. The whole Tyler's message is sin tastes different. Sin tastes different. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Now listen, 1 John was written to the church. And in that it says, listen, if we confess our sin to God, He is holy and just. He is pure and just, righteous and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, that was written to the church, gang. No way are you and I ever going to walk perfect while we still walk in the flesh. But please hear this. As the church, as the Christian, as the one who recognized the holiness of God, and the one to recognize that my sin has been taken and dealt with, I recognize how dirty, I recognize sin. Please hear this. You cannot walk in a place and purposefully, willingly sin and say, that's no big deal. Sin cannot taste the same. Doesn't mean we don't sin, but it can't taste the same. Where is that up close and personal? When you are walking close to God and you recognize sin in your life, or the Spirit of God reveals something to you for the first time that maybe you just didn't know, or you're reading the Word of God and something's revealed, or you just know sin and you know, man, it is quick, man. It is absolutely quick to turn and quick to confess and quick to repent and to change your mind towards sin, to understand that. And listen, that's not like the damning sin that, well, you sin, you go to hell. I'm talking about a love of God that drives us because of His holiness, recognizing the love of Christ so willingly took the hit for me that when I sin, man, it drives me to God to ask for forgiveness. And it drives me to be so amazed by Him and to worship Him. Man, when you understand your sin, you understand God's holiness, you understand His love for you, it should drive us to worship Him, to be amazed by Him, and to stand in awe of Him, and to praise Him for who He is and what He's done for us. In fact, sin isn't like a swear word, man. It is a word that says, when I understand the love of God for me and I recognize that sin has been dealt with, I recognize that I have been damned for an eternity had it not been for Jesus, my eyes are open, my heart is open, I see all that God has done for me and His love for me. When you understand that, man, I dare say, I don't want to say sin is something to celebrate, but the forgiveness of sin and recognizing what sin was and the payment of sin was death, and recognizing that that has been dealt with and that we have been reconciled with God and that relationship has been repaired and restored for an eternity. I think when we understand that, that sin should drive us to worship and to praise and to be amazed that God would save a sinner like me. That's the deal. That we'd be amazed that a holy, perfect, innocent God would save a sinner like me. Another verse here. I want you to see Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't be deceived by sin. Satan is the greatest liar of all. Don't walk in sin and be deceived and think that it's okay. And you understand the holy God, you come before His presence, it should drive you to ask God to forgive you. Look at Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and what? Holy. It's the same word. Holy sacrifice. Look what he says. Listen, when you come to Christ, we are then to walk in a place to be separate from that which is profane and defiling. You and I to walk in a place to separate ourselves from things of the world, that we walk now in a new place. Gang, this is the deal. When we've truly come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is a change that takes place. Old is gone, new has come. There is a new desire within us. Sin can't taste the same. And living in holy, separate, pure, morally, conduct's got to be right on. This is such a huge word for those who understand what it is to be in Christ. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Attach that to holiness. Separate yourself. This is the deal. Not in a separatist way like we're better than you. That's not what that means. But in a way that I want to get before God day after day and walk in a way, God, I present my body to you. I present my mind to you. I present my words to you. God, that I will not walk in a sinful way. God, I would be different from the way the world works. I would be different. I would think different. I would speak different. God, I'd act different because I want to walk in a way, God, that is separate from anything that is profane and defiling. God, that's who I want to be day after day. Could you imagine what your month, your week, your days would look like if every morning you got before God, God, my mind, my mouth, God, my heart, God, my actions, my hands, my feet, everything, God, I want it to be holy to you. God, I want to be separate from that which is profane and defiled. And God, immediately when I walk in sin, help it to taste nasty. And God, I will come to you and repent and change. Could you imagine what your day looks like then when you understand this? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove the will of God is that which is acceptable and perfect. Please know this, folks. And if I could have the ushers come forward, please. I take up communion, and I just want us to remember that Jesus Christ's body was broken for you, and his blood was shed for the remission of sin, for the payment of sin. That which was once scarlet has been made white as snow. And that Jude tells us that there is a glorious day that we stand before him blameless because of what God through Christ Jesus has done for us. You can go ahead and pass those out. Gang, I want you to understand this morning what it is to walk holy, what it is to be holy. As they're passing us out, I want you to see this. 1 Peter says this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. Look at this. Prepare your minds. Or one version may say, gird your loins. It means get ready. Prepare your minds. Get your minds ready for action. Keep sober. Let nothing intoxicate your spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now get this. As obedient children, that's you and I who belong to God, who's adopted us as his own. That's us right here. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but be like... Oh, this is amazing, gang. Please don't miss this. Be like the Holy One. Be like the one who is separate from anything that is profane and defiling. Be like the one who stands innocent. Be like the one who is sacred. Be like the one who is holy. This is huge. Do not be conformed to the former lusts. Change takes place. Sin cannot taste the same, which were yours in your ignorance. But be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves. Be separate. Be set apart yourselves. Be that which is sanctified yourselves. Be that which is holy. Completely separate from that which is profane and defiling. Be free from immorality. This is what this means. Look at this. Be holy yourselves in what? All your behavior. God, today I'm yours. God, everything I think, say, and do. God, my mindset, God, the words that I speak, God, my actions, that they might be holy before you, God, separate from anything that is profane or defiling. God, let this body be a living sacrifice that is holy and belonging to you. God, all my conduct shall change and I will walk in such a way, God, that I want to be like you in your holiness. That's not be God. That's not what that means. We are called to imitate God, and we're called now as adopted that the Spirit of God dwells within us, that we walk in a way to imitate, to be like the one that we is our example. Look at this. Because it is written, and this comes from Leviticus, you shall be holy, for I am holy. How does that happen? When I know God is without stain and I know that I have been full of stain, when I know God is innocent in every way and I know that I come to a place to be so wretched and wrong in my sin, and yet God says to be holy for I am holy, and it's only through Jesus. It's only because of what Jesus has done for us that you and I can walk in a place of such great change. That you and I can walk in a place that we're so concerned about our moral conduct, we're so concerned about our behavior, that God, today I want to walk in a way that is like you. And God, when sin shows up, when I make a choice, or when something comes out of my mouth, God, when I think something's wrong, God, when I do something that's just against you, God, immediately that I would turn to you and recognize the blood of Jesus has covered that and I'm free from sin. And I confess my sin as a child, man, as one who belongs to him. For sin does taste different when you've understood the blood of Jesus. What is it to be up close and personal with a holy God, folks? What is it to be up close and personal with that which is light? We should identify our sin quickly and keep such a short account that our repentance is immediate. Our confession is quick. Because when we understand the holiness of God, sin tastes different. In communion, man, it's a time to remember Jesus. It's a time to remember that we have been forgiven. It should drive us to worship him. It should drive us to be amazed by him. It should drive us to stand in awe of God, that he who is holy took that which was stained and cleanse me by the blood of Jesus, that there's a day that I stand before him blameless. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead. The same way he took the cup, said, this is the new covenant, my blood. Folks, his blood had to be shed so that you and I one day would be declared holy. That you and I one day would be declared blameless before the throne. Please know. He says, this is the new covenant, my blood. As often as you do this, remember. Remember. Sin has been forgiven. We have been washed white as snow. Because of Jesus and the blood, we stand before God blameless. It's amazing. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead. If you could just stand to your feet, please, and we're going to end this thing in worship. Again, I want you to worship from a heart that recognized our sin and recognized the holy God. We have such a love for you, folks. I'm asking you to dig deep and worship right now. In a time that is before God, recognizing his holiness and recognizing his love for us and what Jesus has done in the remission of our sin based on his blood. Come on.